For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At the stick, from who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. The San Francisco 49ers surprised a lot of people with their first round selection. Before we get into this episode, like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. Listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, the game starts here. They decided they were going to go with Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida. And there was a lot of really talented players still on the board, some at wide receiver that definitely most people believed were going to go the way of the San Francisco 49ers. But the 49ers decide that they go with Pearsall. And Pearsall is an interesting prospect. Once again, a player from Arizona State. Who else used to go to Arizona State but Brandon Ayuk? Another one of Kyle Shanahan's favorites went to Arizona State in N'Keal Harry. So the San Francisco 49ers are looking at a wide receiver that can play a multitude of roles. He's 6'1", he's 189 pounds, but I think most people believe he should have been a second-round pick. That's exactly where I had him graded. But the eye is in the beholder, and the 49ers have had some hits at the wide receiver position. Will this be one of them? I think it's a little early to tell. But Brandon Ayuk in round one, Jawan Jennings in round seven. Now, we've had some misses as well. They have so far missed on Danny Gray. We don't know what he's going to be yet, a third-round pick that hasn't quite materialized. So what are we getting out of Ricky Pearsall, I think, is the biggest question. It's interesting to see a guy step in at this size and expect to see something from him that can help the team a lot. Now, when it comes to what his rank was on my big board, I had him at 51. The 49ers took him a full 20 spots earlier. Now, if you didn't feel you could get him at 63 and you wanted to have him on the team, then that makes a lot of sense. But let's talk about Ricky Pearsall a little bit. Ricky Pearsall is an explosive athlete. I saw that on film. He surges out of his breaks when he's running his routes. That's something that is nice because when you get in and out of your breaks well, you're able to create separation. So that means Pearsall should be able to create separation on his own without Kyle Shanahan having to scheme him up. Now, of course, Kyle is going to scheme things up. So if he schemes it up, it's going to help Pearsall a lot. Of course, 6'1", 189 pounds, would probably put on a little bit more weight. 6'1", 200, 6'1", 195 should be physical enough to help with block. He has the necessary speed to be able to run the deep vertical routes down the field. So if you get him in a slot situation, he could be deadly. So that would be a great thing, which helps him be able to create a deep level. When you're looking for receivers, you need guys that can operate at all three levels, and Ricky Pearsall is one of those guys. Precise routes. if you're looking at a guy like Brandon Ayuk that you love for great route running, Ricky Pearsall is going to be one of those guys that you're impressed as well by. Plus, he throws in a lot of fakes, a lot of head movement, a lot of jab steps that are going to help him get open routes. That's who Ricky Pearsall is. So those types of things you like. Plus, you talk about the physical ability to catch the ball with strong hands. He has that. You can see him catch the ball in space. You see him catch the ball at contended catches and do a lot with short areas, being able to catch the ball and take contact and hold on to it. He makes all kinds of crazy catches. That's why if this was at pick 63, I think everyone would be jumping for joy about the potential of having Ricky Pearsall on this team. Great player. And I think the fact he was taken at 31 is going to somewhat frustrate some people. But the player we have to like, we might not like where he went, but the player we have to like, Ricky Pearsall is a very solid guy. You're talking about a guy that's fluid in his movements. There's no wasted motion. I like the way he can throttle up and down and change his speeds as he runs through zones and create opportunities for him to be able to get open windows to get the football. That's going to be Ricky Pearsall's way to get on the field, and he can become Brock Purdy's best friend in those situations. The elite body control to go away with the strong hands, make him a guy that can catch the ball for up in the air at the high points. He can make some really acrobatic catches. I like that a lot about him. And so he's a guy that has all those intangibles that you like. Now, there's weaknesses that go along with those as well that, of course, always are question marks. So remembering that there's going to be some things he's going to have to work on is very important. One of the things that you have to remember when you're looking at him, I talked about him being 189 pounds at 6'1", is a little bit of a leaner frame than we see from some of the other 49ers receivers. Brandon Ayuk was similar that way when he came into the league, but has put on the weight to be a really solid physical player. So Pearsall is going to have to work on his body for sure. And then sometimes the things he does speed-wise that you see when it comes to testing, don't always materialize on the field. So he's going to have to work on that. One of the things that Kyle Shanahan talked about Brandon Ayuk was he wasn't always full speed when he was running his routes. That's a problem for a lot of college players coming into the NFL. Now, just because I'm relating his size and some of his route running to Ayuk doesn't mean he's an Ayuk type of player. Ricky Pearsall is not Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk is an X receiver that can do a lot of things on the outside. What Pearsall is a guy with the abilities to play X receiver, but to also play Z and play in the slot. He can fulfill the Juwan Jennings role in the passing game. He's got a lot to work on to be the blocker that Juwan Jennings is, and the fact is, no one's probably going to ever be able to block the way Juwan Jennings blocks, but the 49ers have now prepared themselves in case Juwan Jennings leaves in the offseason. You've got a cheaper option under contract for at least 4 years, and that's what they had to do. So what will he be as far as yards after the catch? We're going to find out. But we do know he's going to have the ability to operate in space, which could be huge and can make contested catches. So he's one of those guys. And then, like we talked about, this is something I jotted down while watching him. He's not imposing when it comes to blocking. He's not Juwan Jennings. He's more Ray-Ray McCloud when it comes to blocking. So there's a lot of aspects you're getting that are Ray-Ray. You throw in some of the special teams' ability to return the football, and it looks like Ricky Pearsall in the short term is a replacement for Ray-Ray McCloud, and maybe in the long term could be a replacement for Juwan Jennings in the receiving aspect of the game. So it's very interesting to see how the 49ers are going about this. That is for sure. And what's up to my guy, Jay Ellie, says, keep up the great work, Ant. You're killing it earlier. I appreciate that so much. Jay Ellie joined us over on 49ers Rush. I was with John Chapman, and we had a great show first round. It was me and John and Chuck, and it was a lot of fun. We got to talk about all the picks. If you guys just want to go back and check it out, go ahead. If you want to join me for day two, I'm going to be back over there for rounds two and three. I might jump out after round two pick, come here and do something, talk 49ers, then go back. But I'm going to be in and out of that stream. And then, of course, day three, join me for the entire marathon of rounds four through seven. If you like 49ers draft, if you like NFL draft and you're a crazy person, come through with me. But I appreciate Jay Ellie for using his membership capabilities for Super Chat. Been a member for 30 months. Jay Ellie's the best. My Florida State fan friend here. So absolutely fantastic. Thanks, Jay Ellie, for that. Lou, what's up, Lou? Says, hi, Ant. Can I assume the Pearsall pick was all about next year? no JJ, and have to get out from underneath Debo's contract since they have to pay Brock and Ayuk. I think there is a little bit to assume here. I think, first off, like I said, I think it makes a lot of sense in the Ray McLeod type fill, because you have a couple of young guys that you like when you drafted them. You had Ronnie Bell. You liked him. You were hoping he was going to be the punt returner. He was going to be the guy that could fill in for Ray McLeod eventually, but he became inactive. He became a guy you couldn't always count on, and a little bit of a liability when it came to blocking. So I don't know how high they still are on Ronnie Bell. I know a lot of fans really like him. I have some feelings about him as far as blocking and whether he's going to fit this system. But I think Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray haven't been able to live up to expectation, whether that is right now their skill level's not there, or the fact that with Danny Gray, he's been hurt a lot. So I think right now this is Ricky Pearsall stepping in and filling the Ray McLeod role. A lot of the things that Ray did when there was four receivers on the field will be Ricky Pearsall's job, but it takes a year for you to get really comfortable in Kyle Shanahan's system. Do I believe Ricky Pearsall is going to cover up a hole of a Debo Samuel missing out of your offense? No. Does he do similar things as far as reverses and fly sweeps and counters and quick screens? Yes. So maybe you don't lose your entire playbook. You can still run the screens. You can still run some of the counters. I think that's important. But then also, he does some of the things Jawan does as far as sitting down in zones, converting on third downs. And because of his elite ability with his strong hands to catch the ball in traffic, he's a good player to have to convert on third down and in the red zone. So I think that's what they thought when they got Ricky Pearsall, was a very solid guy who explodes in and out of breaks and is able to create his own separation. And that's something that Jawan Jennings is known for, creating separation. You need those guys to be able to take the pressure off your 1-2 guys. So I think Pearsall could help in 2024. And then ultimately, you're right, step into a role. I don't know if it's Debo's role. I think it's more likely to be Jawan Jennings' role. Debo, that's going to be a hard replacement. There's not another Debo out there. You're going to have to somewhat change your offense if you move off of Debo. So that's a real tough one, but really good question, Lou. Appreciate it. Just like always, come through. Killswitch says, Brandon's replacement. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be a replacement for Brandon Ayuk. Though I like Ricky Pearsall, I like his route running ability. I like the things he can do. Ayuk is at a different level right now. Ayuk is a guy that can create separation and do some big things, and including his catch radius is really fantastic. He's improved every single year, and let's see if he can take another step forward. I don't know if Pearsall is that guy. I think other guys would have signaled more towards being the replacement. I think this signals more an addition to at the room, where you're adding a guy that can help you in other areas. But I mean, that would be a thought. I mean, I think some people would think that. And Jalen is holding judgment till the end of the draft, but much more talent left waiting. Yeah, let's talk about some of that talent that was still available on the board. Number one, the number one guy on my board still left, Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. Very, very impressive player, of course. Foot concerns. He had an injury, so maybe that moved him down the 49ers board. That could be possible. Cooper DeJean. Injury concerns, came off an injured leg. Now, he looked really good at his pro day, and it was a broken leg when he had the injury, so it wasn't structural damage to a ligament. So you wouldn't think that would have moved him down. I would have loved Cooper DeJean in this role, but maybe the 49ers felt they needed to go a different way, but he was a player available. Of course, Adonai Mitchell, the type 1 diabetes came out that he's dealing with that. Maybe he doesn't always manage it as well as he should. That probably moved him down the board as well. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry dealing with the...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Foot injury, the Jones fracture as well. So you're talking about every one of the guys I talked about having injury concerns that could have moved them down the 49ers board or off the 49ers board. We don't really know what the medical looks like. If we knew what the medical looked like, I think we could feel a lot more comfortable with who these players are. So those are the guys that I had in the first round. Of course, Jackson, Powers, Johnson, but I couldn't take interior offensive line serious when it came to the 49ers. Doesn't mean I wouldn't draft this center. I love the position. I played that when I played. I coached offensive line primarily when I coached. I love offensive line. But the 49ers don't value interior offensive line the way that other teams do. And in fact, no one drafted an interior offensive lineman in the first round besides Graham Barton going. And Graham Barton is a guy that's transitioning from tackle to the interior. So it's pretty interesting. The other guys that I have still available on the board that were high for me, Mike Sainer still. He's my number one nickel corner in the entire draft. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State. Questions about speed a little bit, but a lot of fun. But there's a lot of really good talent that's going to be in round two. So I think it's always a good job, you know, a good idea, JLE, to reserve overall judgment. But, I mean, I think it's okay to wonder why they picked Ricky Pearsall, because I think then it helps you get a little bit deeper into the X's and O's reason of why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went with wide receiver Ricky Pearsall instead of some of the other guys. And it could be X's and O's, which makes sense, but it could also be injury concerns, which definitely is always a little bit of a struggle. JLE says Debo trade talk ramping up again. Well, the conversation was, I believe, that Debo couldn't fetch more than a mid-round pick. I don't know why you would trade Debo for a mid-round pick at this point, because you have the off chance of winning a Super Bowl. Financially, you're going to be able to get through this season. It might make sense for down the road, but actually moving on from Debo right now hurts you financially. So I think there will be conversations about it, but it's a little interesting. Killswitch says, what position do you think they will draft next? Well, when you're talking about needs for the San Francisco 49ers, there are a couple. I think they have not an overall need at nickel corner, but also offensive line, especially depth. And you've got a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson. He's probably going to go. So he's going to go early. So when you're talking about pick 63, the only offensive lineman that I could see potentially being available at pick 63, just with the way the NFL is valuing offensive tackle right now, I think could be somebody like Zach Frazier, or ultimately one of the guys in the second or third round that I like, Roger Rosengarten or Dominic Puny. I like Dominic Puny a lot out of Kansas. He, to me, is a Graham Barton type player. Played tackle at Kansas, position versatility to play center or guard. I see him as a center, Senior Bowl reps through the roof. Liked his film a lot. But there's so much talent there that if you were going to get a nickel corner and you didn't want to pay a first-round rate for a Cooper DeJean or somebody there, you could wait till the second round with Mike Zahner still, Andrew Phillips, Enos Rigastraw, all those guys available there in the second round, which means cornerback could be a real option for the 49ers. I think it might surprise some people, but I won't be shocked if the 49ers don't go with a nickel corner in the second round. I would love for them to get one of those guys available, including Renardo Green, who I didn't mention. All those guys are really, really fantastic. David says, easy to see why Shanahan likes the kid. Great routes, great hands. BA isn't going anywhere, folks. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that, you know, he's not going anywhere. They're adding to, they're not taking away. This is not an addition and then a subtraction is going to go from it. I got to admit, when the Steelers took Fatanu, the first thought was, did they get Fatanu to park for the 49ers to get their receiver and then make a trade? I don't think that's the case, but that did cross my mind. I got to be honest when talking about it. Lou says, Ant, if the 49ers move up in the second round, what position or player do you feel is in play for them? I think there's a few players that you would trade up for. I think because of the talent level at the cornerback position when it comes to nickel corner with Mike Sainer still, Andrew Phillips, Renardo Green, Enos Rakestraw, I think with those guys and how many really good nickel corners there are, including a guy like Javon Bullard, who's a safety but could play nickel. He's got that position versatility. Also, Cooper DeJean still on the board. I don't think you trade up until you get to a point where maybe one of the top three guys is gone, or like three of the top guys are gone from the corner position. So if Cooper DeJean went, Mike Sainer still went, and you were like, you know what, I don't want to lose Andrew Phillips, then potentially go for corner. Other than that, the only other position I could see them trading up for is potentially now in round two, interior offensive line makes sense if one of those center started to fall. Got a little bit caught on the safety conversation, but if one of those guys started to fall, then you would have a possibility. Zach Frazier, Jackson Powers Johnson falling would make sense if the 49ers decided to move up slightly to go ahead and make a pick. I would think they would love to get another player in the top 50, but they also want to make sure they have their picks in rounds 3 and 4, because after that, that's when some of the talent starts falling off. And John Lynch even said, like, there's not as much talent at the end of the draft as normal. But, I mean, tremendous talent at several positions. Now that we know wide receivers off the board early, cornerback, defensive tackle with Rook Arohoro would be a possibility. Edge defenders like Chris Broswell. And then 49ers, they shocked us already with Ricky Pearsall. Could they go out and get a tight end like Jadeveon Sanders in the second round? Are they loading up talent-wise for Brock Purdy? That could be something to monitor as well as we get through it. So thank you so much, Joel. Hashtag TCC. I appreciate you. So what we got is the 49ers making a move here with Ricky Pearsall. And now it kind of starts setting up rounds 2 and 3. Rounds 2 and 3 are going to be interesting because 49ers address wide receiver. It was often thought that it was going to be offensive line or cornerback in round 1 and then right wide receiver in round 2. Now, of course, if you watch my mock draft 2.0, I took a wide receiver. I took Adonai Mitchell. To me, that was the first round talent available. The 49ers decided it was going to be Ricky Pearsall. So wide receiver is not a shock to anyone. I think it's just the wide receiver. So now that we turn the page into day 2, the 49ers are just looking to add talent. I think the question is going to be, are they looking to add what they normally add, and that is players in the trenches with offensive line and defensive line, or are they going to get playmakers? I don't know if they've answered the question of tight end 2 yet. Now, this isn't a strong tight end draft, and if you're going to Jadeveon Sanders, you're not getting a guy that's built to block. You're getting a guy to play in the slot. So that might be counterproductive after getting Ricky Pearsall. So that might not make sense. So you can probably scratch that off. But what type of players are they going for Brock? I think defensive tackle's on the board. I think edge is on the board. I think linebacker's on the board, depending on how long Dre Greenlaw is going to be out. So who are some of the linebackers the 49ers could target? I don't think Peyton Wilson from NC State will be the selection, even though I love the player. I love the film. I love his length. I think too many injury concerns, and I think we just saw that the 49ers passed on 5 potential first-round or 4 potential first-round talents because of potential injury concerns. So a guy like Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M, is round 2 too rich for his blood? He is a very talented guy. You got Devondre Campbell. The 49ers have the insight on when Dre comes back. If Dre's going to come back in the first portion of the season, then you probably just ride it out with some of the young guys you already got. If not, if it's going to be November and then you're really worried about it then, maybe you do spend a higher draft pick on a linebacker. So that is when linebacker becomes something interesting. But I think the second round is very much nickel cornerback heavy, safety heavy. If you were ever going to hit at that position, this is the time. And I think this could be the time the 49ers get one of those guys. They can lock and load and plug in and really be able to make a big-time help for them. Freddie Mac Dre, what's up to my guy Freddie Mac Dre? He says, Storm Duck, last pick, man is nasty. Crazy thing about Storm Duck, number one, name fantastic, right? One of the all-time names. But number two, Storm Duck is crazy fast. So as a guy that would be the last pick, 251, I wouldn't hate it because what do I always say? Late round picks. Let's get a guy with elite traits. Storm Duck has the speed and athleticism to be one of those guys. So developmental wise, a guy you could potentially stash on the practice squad. You got to love speed. And so Storm Duck, that would be interesting there. Lou says, Ant, I have to ask, is the Sakel to center or anywhere project over with finally? Don't know. I think Nick Sakel is definitely not where they thought he was going to be. I don't know what they thought his development was going to be in year 2, but he hasn't reached their expectations. That I know is true. They brought in Ben Bartsch last year, and so now you have Ben Bartsch and Nick Sakel that are basically the same player. These guys have position versatility, but both of them play guard and center. Here's where it gets tough for Sakel. Ben Bartz right now is a better center prospect than he is. And having a guy that has position versatility that is also your number one backup center is very valuable for the 49ers. Because John Feliciano, if he's going to be the starting right guard, which I'm sure they're going to have a competition between him and Spencer Burford, if he wins the right guard job, he will no longer be your starting backup center or your next backup center. It might be Ben Bartz. This could be interesting for Nick Sakel. One of these two guys might not make the team. So I think it's going to be a real battle. But Nick Sakel, it's time for him to go ahead and set up, or step up, or he could be gone. Eric, how's it going? Eric Dane says, Powers Johnson already fell to 31. Yeah, I mean, basically he fell past where the 49ers were going to value a interior offensive lineman. Of course, I never thought they would take interior offensive linemen. A lot of people scoffed at me, and it's just what I think the 49ers value. They value offensive tackle a lot more than interior offensive line. Whether that's right, wrong, or not, I can't say, but that is their philosophy. And so when people mock interior offensive linemen to the 49ers in the first round, it just doesn't make sense because that's not what Kyle does. The highest they've ever valued a interior offensive lineman is probably through free agency when they signed Weston Richburg or Alex Mack. But those are veterans who are playing at Pro Bowl caliber level, not a rookie who they know probably can't start in year one and handle Kyle Shanahan's offense and protection. So that's probably why. But in round two, it makes a lot of sense. Jay Ellis says, you like Jatavion Sanders over the rest of the tight ends fit-wise. It depends on what Kyle's looking for. Now, honestly, if I'm looking for tight ends fit-wise, you want to get to like Theo Johnson. I think Theo Johnson is a balanced tight end who could be tight end to step in and still have receiving upside. But when you're looking at guys who are playmakers, if you're looking for a guy that Kyle kind of leaned towards in a Jordan Reed type mold, who's a receiving threat, who can create in space, but isn't an elite blocker, that's where I think Jatavion Sanders makes sense. That's where Jared Wiley makes sense out of TCU, because those guys are smooth movers who can operate in space and create with yards after the catch. And we just don't know what Kyle's looking for, because are they trying to potentially replace Cameron Latu, or are they trying to replace Braydon Willis? If you're looking to replace Braydon Willis with a guy who's balanced, Theo Johnson makes the most sense to me. If you're looking for a guy to step in day one and have that versatility to be the receiving threat with maybe a little bit of blocking upside, that's when you start going the other way. There's guys who are definitely receiving threats more than blockers. This is not one of those balanced tight end drafts. Last year, tremendous talent at tight end. And I haven't wrote off Cameron Latu. I haven't wrote off Braydon Willis. I'm just saying if you go tight end, it's going to be interesting to be the decision that you make. Is it a skilled receiver or is it a balanced tight end that can do both? There's a little mixture of both, but not of a lot of talent at the top end. But Jatavion Sanders is my only second round grade for a tight end this draft. So it was Brock Bowers, it was Jatavion Sanders, and then after that, we start going down the list. Another name you could see in the fourth round of Ben Sennett would probably make sense there. But it's all about what you have to do, with your players. And Killswitch says, should we address corner or O-line first? I think it's about player. The truth is, if you get one of those elite centers available in round two and they are falling in your lap, I think you go ahead and you take one. But also, if you get an elite nickel corner, you have potential to get a guy that can start day one. What are the 49ers' thoughts on Isaac Yedem and Rock Ya-Sin? Now, we know they signed him to enough money that they expect him to be on this roster. But I don't think anyone would argue that Deominor Lenore is a better outside corner than Isaac Yedem and Rock Ya-Sin, which means that if you got a guy that was a better nickel that could step in and play, it might be a best situation to have Mooney Ward, Deominor Lenore, and like Mike Samra still at nickel corner with Isaac Yedem and Rock Ya-Sin as backups on the outside. That may make more sense, where then if an injury happened to your nickel corner and Samra still, Deominor Lenore steps in and goes back to that position. So it all depends on where they feel the most value is for Lenore. Is it the 70 to 75% of snaps he plays nickel, or is it the entire time being on the field and playing outside? I think it's important to have a guy that can make plays on the outside. If they're comfortable with Yedem or Rock Ya-Sin, then they might not look corner this early. But if not, it might be time to strike, because the truth is Mike Sainer is still...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Andrew Phillips, Renardo Green, these guys are very talented nickel corners who bring the wood physicality-wise in the run game, and that's why they make sense the way D'Amato Lenore is. So far, Womack hasn't showed the initiative to stop the run when he plays nickel corner, but we don't know about Darrell Luter Jr. He has the ability to do so, but I don't know where his development is. We didn't get to see enough of him at the cornerback position, but good question. Eric says, how many times in the last few years have we said that pick was a reach? You can't keep screwing up the draft and expect to stay in contention. Yeah, I think it's a concern. You know, I mean, I think the 49ers grade however they grade. They're definitely not influenced by the rest of the league or the rest of the league boards. They get convicted, and that we've heard John Lynch talk about that a lot. We're convicted about this pick. We wanted to make this pick. So is it a consensus pick? No, it wasn't a consensus pick for me either. I did not expect Ricky Pearsall to be the pick at 31. Figured if they were going wide receiver, it was going to be someone else. But like JLE said earlier, we got to take a wait-and-see approach, because we don't exactly know what Ricky Pearsall is going to look like in the 49ers offense. I think that a lot of people wanted this to be an offensive lineman. And I think if there would have been a really solid first-round offensive lineman that was an offensive tackle, I think the 49ers may have went that way. Once that was off the board, edge rush was off the board, and everyone else that had a first-round grade had injury concerns, they went with the wide receiver they felt the most comfortable with. Maybe because A.D. Mitchell had the problems with his health that they decided to go Pearsall. I don't know how to defend this pick. I'm not really trying to. I'm just kind of saying, like, I like the player. I would have loved it later. And I think I'm just going to take a wait-and-see approach, but I'm hoping that I can look back on this situation, and I think you're hoping too, Eric, that you can look back on this situation and be like, but no, that was a great pick. It ended up working out. But it was interesting. JLE says, would have loved to see what the 49ers board looked like. Good thing we still have 9 picks remaining. It's a good point. I often wonder what their board looks like compared to most. I thought my board looked a little strange compared to most. Who knows what the 49ers board look like. That would be interesting. Yeah, 9 more opportunities to hit it out of the park, and you know, maybe they'll hit one. And Eric with a good point here. Yeah, they were convicted about Javon Kinlaw, Ty Davis Price, Drake Jackson, Cameron Latu, etc. You're right, they were. And you know, that's the thing, the misses are evident misses. You know, they were convicted about Ambry Thomas. Those definitely were. I think the funny one is, yeah, I don't know how much conviction they had about Aaron Banks, but it worked out. So sometimes it's a little bit of a crapshoot, but you're right. There are some of those things, some of those guys that didn't make sense, but there's also the ones that didn't make sense to some that were convictions that worked out. You know, guys like Debo Samuel, guys like Fred Warner, who was making a transition, a guy like George Kittle they didn't see as a receiving threat around the league, but they had a third-round grade and took him in the fifth. So it sometimes works out, but you're right. There's a lot of opportunities there that they missed. And Lou says, Ant, Moore, Burford, and Brendel are barely fringe starters. What seems to be the issue with O-line evaluations? Too many meh picks. I think we need to draft interior offensive linemen earlier. Yeah, I mean, since Burford was a fourth-round pick, I think that's pretty common for an interior offensive lineman around the league. Aaron Banks was a second-round pick. That's spending two. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a day three for pick for Burford. Maybe you wanted him to get a guy a little bit earlier. I do think there's a question of why they value free agent centers more than they value drafting centers, but they might shock us. You know, they might actually take a guy. But I do think that they believe they can skimp at the offensive line, interior offensive line, and that Chris Foerster can develop them enough to get them through. And for the most part, it's worked out. And I know people point to the Super Bowl as it being a real problem. You know, and that's one of the issues when you pick that particular part to skimp, is you can run into problems when you go against a good defensive line like they went against Kansas City. But I do remember that the 49ers ran for close to 1,500 yards with Christian McCaffrey. So even though I think the offensive line isn't where it should be, where we want it to be, I think it might be a little bit better than we remember, because the last thing we saw was the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, you got a point. They might need to address offensive line, interior offensive line earlier. That might be a fault of what they do, but for whatever reason, that's their evaluation. And Eric says, sorry, Ant, I'm just frustrated. It feels like every year they reach and more than half the time it doesn't work out, and these misses are starting to add up. Oh, yeah, no apologies needed. I get it. I understand frustration. You know, I think a lot – I had a feeling a lot of people were going to be frustrated because they wanted offensive line, and they wanted offensive line bad, and I understand that. So, no, I get it. And the thing is right, that's the problem with the draft. It's such a crapshoot. You don't know who's going to work out and who's not. And the 49ers have hits and they have misses. And usually NFL teams around the league have more misses than hits. It's kind of the way it goes. But, I mean, some of the misses that the 49ers have had have hurt big, because guys like Solomon Thomas and Javon Kinlaw, and even a lot of people feel Mike McGlinchey. Now, I feel McGlinchey was at least a good starter at right tackle. But you start reading into those and you see, like, man, if we would have hit on those picks – our team would be even better. We would have a Super Bowl, and I understand that. So, no need for apologies. I get it completely. I understand. Lou says, Christian is an anomaly. Put any other running back behind this line, and we don't do nearly as good. Yeah, I think that's the case. But I think you also look at, sometimes that's the way you build things. So you can pay a guy like Christian McCaffrey more money, so that way you can skimp at the offensive line. You might be able to pay more at the offensive line and get a better or a different running back. So it's just kind of the way they've chosen to choose their line. But you've got a good point. I mean, McCaffrey makes a lot of people look special. So does Debo. So does Brock. They make people look better, and that's why you pay them the money that you pay them. Ephesian says, high football IQ player. Agreed. That's what you're getting with these guys, high caliber players, and that's exactly what you want to get at the position. Eric Gaines says, it feels like multiple first-round talents fell to 31, and they took a guy that was mid-second round at best. Yeah, the only thing that is, Eric, that I went over is the guys ahead that I had on the big board: Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJuan, Adonai Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry, all of them had injury concerns. That's the only reason they might not even be on the 49ers board. I don't know. Like Jaylee said, I would love to take a look at their board and just see what it looked like. The guy that, doesn't have injury concerns is Jackson Powers Johnson, but the value of offensive line, interior offensive line for the 49ers just isn't there. So that's the only thing I can think as I'm trying to go through, the possibilities. So Kenny says, I'm not happy that we picked a wide receiver with the first pick that we've had in years when it was the deepest position in the draft. And, you're okay. You're okay to, have that feeling. I think that, a lot of people were like JLE, Dejon Newton and JPJ was the hopes before the selection. I think so. And Kenny says, hey, it was the ninth best wide receiver. 49ers didn't think so. The 49ers took him, and they believe that he's the third best wide receiver in this draft. Thomas, Worthy, and then Pearsall. And then right after that, Xavier Leggett, who a lot of people had in the second round, he goes in the first round as well. The eye is definitely in the beholder. Lou says, who does Ant want in round two? The truth is, if I had my choice, I would love to get one of the nickel corners. I think that these guys are, like, extremely talented. Mike Sainristil, still, Javon Bullard, who's a safety slash nickel, Andrew Phillips, Renardo Green, those are guys that I really like in the second round. I think that's a ton of talent. I also wouldn't hate safety Cole Bishop from Utah, if he's available. You're going to have guys behind Jair and Talanoa Fonga. But I can't ignore Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier. I like them both. I would be very happy with those. I think Powers Johnson goes early, probably in the next five picks. I think he'll go. Cooper DeJuan, who I didn't even mention. I forgot to even mention those guys. Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJuan, Kool-Aid, even Kamari Lassiter. I like all those guys. I would love to get them. But I think their most value is for corner. So it could slide a little bit. The 49ers might not even have to move up to get one of those good corners. But I think a lot of people are going to want interior offensive line. So I like those guys a lot. And David says, I want Phillips, Melton, or Rook in round two. I do like Rook as well. I think he's very talented. The only other one that I really like in the first three rounds, a defensive tackle, is Dewayne Carter. So to me, that would make a lot of sense as well. And Ephesian says, hey, they may go safety or running back. I think that's a possibility. I don't think running back this early. I think later on there's so much talent with some of the guys that are going to be available later on in this draft to go running back. But I think that anytime the 49ers are on the clock, you got to think defensive line, edge rush are a potential. Are they going to break the trend and go cornerback ahead of round three? Maybe not. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. That is for sure. But, you know, overall, it's just it's been a lot of fun to watch, you know, what happened in the first round. And I'm looking forward to the second round. I hope you guys will all join me over on 49ers Rush for that. You know, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. So I'm thankful for all you guys coming through and checking it out. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.